In 2012, Carly Sakin and Daniel Weisberg founded The Skim from their couch. Now, 6 years later, their morning newsletter gives over 7 million subscribers the news and information they need to start their day. When they first started the company, they got a lot of advice from other female entrepreneurs. Now they're sharing those conversations and more on their podcast, Skimmed from the Couch. Every week, you'll hear from women like Arianna Huffington, founder of the Huffington Post, and Thrive on why she puts her phone to bed at night. Or how actor Taraji P. Henson got over her first rejection and learned how to negotiate for herself. It's a podcast about the real stuff. Tips and tricks to launch, grow, and change your career. The only rule on the couch? No BS. Check out Skim from the Couch wherever you listen to podcasts. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Nikki Marie Radio. Today, I have a special guest. He has a bachelor's degree in psychology. He's a father of two small children, ages 6 and 5. And his number one hobby is baseball.
What's up, peoples? How you guys doing?
I love my dad, and he's here for me. And he gives me food. And he takes care of us. And he's always the best.
What does being a father mean to you?
You know, I've wanted kids for a long time, but I wanted to have it with the right woman. It means the world to me. I've been wanting children since I've literally graduated from college. I've always thought about it. I don't know what else to say. It's just something that I've always wanted, and I finally got two beautiful children that I adore, that I will do anything for. Just to make sure that they're taken care of and they grow up in a happy, safe home and environment. They're my life. So, and I'll give anything for them.
How has it been being a father since you've always wanted children and now you have them? Does that change how you view the world?
It changes how I view the world now because I'm more, cautioned on things. I'm more looking at, you know, what they see and what they hear. So there's certain things I try to protect them and try to keep them away from. But at the same time, in my view, they should experience certain things, but at certain ages and a certain maturity, once they get older and older, don't want to shelter them from everything.
Right.
That's what happened to me. I felt I was sheltered. It don't fault of my parents at all, you know. They didn't want me to see certain things. They didn't want me to experience certain things. And that's a good and bad thing. So the good thing is, you know, I experienced it later on where I was mature enough to say, okay, this isn't right, and I could formulate my own opinions. But at the same time, I wasn't able to process certain things as quickly as I should have. So I want to still protect my kids, but at the same time, I want them to experience certain things, but at a certain age when I feel like they're mature enough to actually experience them.
Well, a lot of times people ask women, moms, how do you juggle it all? And no one really asks the dad. So how do you juggle it all between being a father, a working man, a supportive soon-to-be husband, a baseball player?
Well, honestly, I don't know. I have a supportive fiance, soon-to-be wife. I feel like I have supportive kids. They know how much I love playing baseball. They know that I have to go to work. obviously to support the family, and I have to be happy myself in order to provide all those things. So I think it just goes, it's not just me, how I handle everything. I think it's a collective role between my fiance, kids, even my parents. They're extremely supportive. You know, my niece, you know, my sister's around, you know, she'll take the kids as well. And, you know, your mom, you know, when she's around, she'll take the kids for, you know, a few weeks or whatever. So I have a really great supporting cast that's around me that understands that. Yeah, I mean, I don't have to do everything myself. And at the same time, I just want to be, make myself happy, because if I make myself happy, everybody else around me is going to be happy as well.
Right. Well, speaking of happiness, and I love that you said supportive cast. That's pretty awesome. There was a period of time where you dealt with, you know, a divorce, depression, anxiety. How do you try to overcome that? Or do you basically play baseball to get away from it?
At the time, it was tough, you know, going through the divorce part. You know, I always go back to when I was 16 years old, I always had a girlfriend. I always had somebody that was there. And after I turned 20, I wound up being with someone for 10 years. And she's the one that I wound up marrying. And she was my first true love that I've had. And going through that experience of breaking up and going through a divorce, it was rough. It was really hard. But at the same time, I felt and always need to have someone. So I found someone to rebound with. And anybody knows, any type of rebound person is a recipe for disaster. So of course, when that failed, that's when I kind of spiraled out of control and went through my little depression, you know. Spiraling out of control, not meaning like dealing with drugs or whatever, but just getting deep in my thoughts and going through a little depression stage where I didn't want to be with anybody. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I just wanted to go and try to find myself. And I literally took a 14-month hiatus of just not doing anything and just having close friends around me. And that's all I wanted to do. Like, I didn't even want to date. I didn't want to have sex. I didn't want to do anything. Because it just wasn't there, because I needed to find myself. And after 14 months, I can't tell you that I definitely found myself, but I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and that really helped me. And I try to preach that for other people as well. If they're going through certain things, just find yourself. You'll be surprised.
Do you believe that people can love more than one person in a lifetime?
Yes.
Like the same way you would feel about your first love?
No. And the reason why I don't feel that way is because you experienced that one, that first love, and there's no other feelings around it. Now, that's not saying that you can't love again. That's not saying that you don't love somebody more, but each type of love to me is different. And that first love is that's never going to go away ever. But at the same time, I can always love someone again. Which I have obviously now, but it's just not the same because it's not your first love.
Hmm. Interesting. So now finding yourself, you said that you wanted to wait for the right woman. So why wasn't that first love the right woman?
Honestly, now I kind of figure we just weren't ready for each other. We weren't ready for the challenges that lied ahead. I'm not going to put, you know, all the blame on her. And I know she won't put all the blame on me. It was just more of a collective thing that just unfortunately just did not work out. In the past, I kind of wondered why it didn't work out, especially being with someone for, you know, 10 years and then getting married. And I always tried to figure out why someone would spend so much time together and then all of a sudden something didn't work out. But then I finally clicked in my head where it was like, excuse me. It's like, it just wasn't meant to happen. And she was brought into my life for a reason. And the reason why she was born into my life was I needed to find myself. And that's how I look at it. That's how I accept it. And that's how I move on from it.
So moving on. Moving on is the hardest thing to do. Would you, now that you're engaged, are you seriously thinking about getting married? Or was it just something that you felt you needed to do?
I'm seriously thinking about getting married, but honestly, it's scary, especially after, you know, the first experience I had with it. I won't front. It's retardedly scary. Like, I don't know if I want to do it. I know I want to do it and should do it and is best for myself and the family. But going back to that place where, you know, I was with someone for so long and then we get married and it didn't work out. It's kind of scary to go back to. You know, things are great the way they are now. Sometimes I go back and forth. It's like, why change it? Like, it's just a piece of paper.
Like if it's not broke, why are you trying to fix it?
Yeah. Something like that, I guess. I get it. You know, it's a union. There's a lot more that comes with it. I get it. But everything is great the way it is right now. You know, have a great house, beautiful family, really good relationship where we're, you know, more and more starting to understand each other every single day. So why change it? And I know people think of it differently, but going through that first experience, it was rough.
I think for religious reasons, people want to get married because it's the traditional religious thing to do. Do you think that people change when they get married? Or is it just maybe the relationship is changing, like they're maybe growing apart and they just blame it on the marriage?
I think people create certain expectations in their head when they get married, where I guess maybe they expect more. Whereas, you know, we've been, you know, together for 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line, you know, what you see is what you get. So once you're married, you know, why are certain expectations changing now, especially when someone's been together for so long? Now, at the same time, when I went through, you know, we were both young and we never experienced anything like this before. So I'm a firm believer is people have to experience feelings in order to know how to react and how to like handle those feelings. If you're going through it for the first time, you know, you don't know what to do. You don't know how to react. You know, you don't know how to take care of yourself emotionally or mentally because you've just never been through it before. But now that you've been through it, you know, there's a part of you that just wants to protect those feelings because you don't want to go through it again.
Now, going through school, graduating with your bachelor's degree in psychology, did you ever consider any psychological damage in your relationship, either by you or by her, and maybe that changed your relationship?
No. I'm always one to say that everyone should go see someone, just because it helps with your mind. It helps you emotionally, it helps you mentally. If you go see someone that's unbiased and, you know, just talk things out, you know, whatever could be possibly bothering you. That doesn't mean you're a psycho or you're crazy or anything like that. But sometimes you just go someone that's professional. You know, me being a psychology major and all, me deeply believing in that stuff. That's something I feel, especially when you have certain things inside of you that you just want to get out.
Now, do you believe in marriage vows? So death do us part.
I don't know.
Like what happens when people get married? Like they go to a church, they get married, they say till death do us part, for better or for worse, blah, blah, blah. But then they get divorced.
If you want to be honest, like, all that church stuff is all a ruse. You know, it's a ruse and goes against what a lot of people believe in. But me personally, I think if you find your soulmate, who cares if you get married or not through the eyes of God or the church? I know I'm comfortable where I'm at right now, and I don't plan on going anywhere else. I plan on being with you and the kids for the rest of my life, and I don't plan on going anywhere. I know how my mind works. I just don't plan on going anywhere. I don't think I need a piece of paper or somebody saying, okay, now you're married, Molotov, or kiss a bride or whatever, to tell me how I feel about someone.
Except in cases of legality where...
Well, legality, that's where a will comes in. So you create a will.
So how do you feel knowing, well, not knowing, but seeing all your friends get married?
I'm happy for them, of course. You know, just went to a wedding a couple weeks ago. It was great. You know, bride and groom had a great time. I grew up with Sean, you know, right there on the block. It was awesome seeing him happy, especially him being with the woman that he, you know, loves and cherishes. And you can see every time that they're together that they're happy. But you know what? That's great for them. You know, not going to throw stones or anything with that. But, you know, it was great for them. It was very invigorating and encouraging to see something like that.
Interesting. Learning a little bit about your views. Now, let's go back to the fun stuff, baseball.
Nice.
How long have you been playing baseball?
I've been playing baseball for 36 years.
So now you're telling your age, okay?
A little bit.
So for baseball, do you think at some point you're going to stop? Or have to?
I know one day I will have to stop. I can't tell you that my mind is not ready to stop.
You're not accepting
my body is trying to tell me that I need to slow down. But my mind isn't there yet. I know it's getting there. Especially seeing, you know, these young cats playing the game and knowing that used to be me. Like, you know, I even put it on a Facebook post one time. It's like, it's kind of hard to deal with. Knowing that that was you back in the day.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it was no problem going out playing doubleheaders, you know, playing college baseball and then going playing summer where you're playing, literally playing about 50 games of summer ball. You're playing about 50 games of college ball. Like that was just life back then. And knowing you can do it day in and day out because you're in your 20s and the peak of your, you know, athleticism, whatever you want to call it. It was great. But now, obviously, things are winding down where, you know, your body's hurting after 5 innings. You know, so it's a little different now.
What do you say to people who have children that are trying to get into any type of sport?
For children that's trying to get into the sport?
Yeah, like a dad wants his son to play baseball or basketball or football.
I would say in the beginning, don't push them. I can't tell you if my father or my mom pushed me into doing a sport, I wouldn't have done it because that's just how I was. So that's what I try to do for my son. I'm not going to push him into anything. I'm hoping, obviously, that he does play sports. But for me personally, I started playing sports because kids on the block were playing sports. And it was something that I saw that they were doing and that I just wanted to do too. So that's why I went into Little League. That's why I started playing football when I was in eighth grade and all that stuff. And playing basketball every single day, especially in the summertime when there was no school. Because the other kids were down at the park playing basketball. But if my parents tried to get me into leagues and trying to force me to play the game, I can guarantee you right now there was no shot in hell that I would have tried to play baseball or any type of sport. So I'm hoping that extra round kids that wants to play sports, and to the people out there, you know, I would encourage your children to play sports if that's what you want them to do, by being around other kids that wants to do it as well.
Yeah. And what do you think about women in sports?
Well, it's great. Why wouldn't they be in sports?
Well, I think we're missing some female coaches. And, you know, we see a lot of them as commentators, but not really coaching.
There are coaches out there. If you're talking about, like, you know, football, the three major sports in America, football, basketball, baseball, mm-hmm. You're not going to find them because that's just the norm now. I know the NBA broke the barrier with women coaches because now you have the San Antonio Spurs that has a female assistant coach that's more than likely going to be a head coach down the line.
Yes.
Popovich, you know, as awesome as he is, you know, he has a certain stigma about, you know, with, you know, his team, the media, how he conducts himself, what he expects out of his players. And it seems kind of hard-ass. But at the same time, the media loves him, and there's a reason why that man is successful. Every single year, always has his team in the playoffs, always has his players whipped into shape, ready to go. You know, dot your I's and cross your T's. And now he was the first to bring a female assistant coach. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He's still doing well.
Nice.
You know, so it'll happen. I personally don't see anything wrong with it. People do because people are used to the traditional stuff. Me personally, you know, obviously males physically are stronger than females, so you can't see them.
What?
Hey, that's true.
So,
you know, but in certain sports, that's just how it is, which is fine, obviously, unless if something happens where male and female can be equally physically like that. Then obviously we're probably evolved to that. But as of now, there's no wrong with women being in sports. Sometimes I watch the WNBA just to see what happens. I love watching women's soccer. You know? So.
And you love tennis.
Love tennis. Actually, I like women's tennis better than men's tennis. Mainly because of Serena Williams. But because I love how old she is. And she's still dominating the sport. Mm. And just seeing these other female athletes, especially with tennis, just go on and just dominate. And I like men's tennis too, but if I had to watch a match, it's more, I will watch women's tennis more. I'll watch women's soccer. So,
well, I want to save some of the interview for Sports Talk Radio. So, I guess my final question would be, what would be your dream job?
My dream job would be to coach. Just to coach baseball. And not even on a professional level.
Mm-hmm.
I want more of teenage, you know, youth to teenager type role.
Right.
Where I'm bringing them up and teaching them the fundamentals, teaching them about life. Teams saying, yo, it's not all about sports. There's other stuff that you have to do as well. You know, you're a great athlete, you know, but there's certain things that you have to follow, certain guidelines you have to follow. There's certain fundamentals that, you know, you need to have inside of you to make yourself, you know, the better person, to be the all that you can be. You know, whether it's that you're growing into a man, growing into a woman, you know, being the best person, you know, for your sport that you want to do, that's the type of role that I want to have, where I can just put them out into the world. It's like, all right, now they're good to go. Now they're great to, you know, take on the world, to take on their profession.
Awesome. Well, thank you for speaking to me today. I appreciate you taking time out of your day, out of your busy, busy day. And hopefully you'll be on Sports Talk Radio very soon. He's not a very social media guy, so I can't put no plugs out there. Or it might be a bunch of ladies hitting up your phone or your Instagram or your Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Sorry, peoples. I only have Facebook and that's enough for me.
Well, I think that sometimes social media
can be a bad thing, especially if kids are on it too young in life. But we live in a world where social media just runs everything. So how do you take social media out of your life?
That's the way of the world now. This, just like how internet back in the day, you know, I'm a traditional type guy. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know. Oh, and God. I was first introduced really, you know, business-wise, when I worked with Enterprise. It was like, you know, Enterprise worked more word of mouth than anything else. And, you know, come to this branch, go to Enterprise. They got great employees. They have a great staff that take care of you. And that's just how it was. But now this day and age, even back then, I think it was probably maybe, I don't know, mid-2000s, when the internet really just ran roughshod over all the companies, where everything was through the internet now. You know, reservations and chatting with people, everything was just through the internet. So I had a tough time with that. And now social media comes along and it's the same shit. Same thing, where it's all about, you know, what you see out there. So now you have, you know, Yelp, Google Plus, where people leave in reviews, and people leave reviews to Facebook, Twitter, blah, 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 whatever. But that's just how it is now. So whether you like it or not, it's changing. Adapt, evolve. It's what you got to do, but you got to get with the times.
Any final words besides get with the times? I usually end on a motivational ending.
I would say stay strong. Life is not all peaches and herbs, whatever the hell you want to call it. You know, there's going to be curveballs that are thrown at you. You know, you're going to get struck out. You're going to make errors in life. But what you need to do is realize what happened and tell yourself that it's not going to happen again. And it may happen again, but you know what you're going to do? You're going to make yourself better from it. Why? Because you've experienced it before. And you know how you picked yourself up. So do it again. Prosper. Enjoy whatever you enjoy. Whether it's a sport, you know, whether it's going apple picking, you know, whether it's going out and having great times with your friends, whatever it may be. It could be just reading a book. Do what you enjoy most, and hopefully you have supportive people around you that can support what you love to do in life.
I love that. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a wonderful day, my beautiful people. Please make sure you subscribe, like, share, comment, and all that great stuff. You can follow me on Instagram at NikkiMarie_radio.
Me and I love him too.